Welcome back, my friends, to another edition of Read It For Me. I'm your host, Steve Cunningham, and while you were sleeping, I was reading A New How by Nafola Merchant. Have you ever had an air sandwich? It's where the company's new direction is delivered from an 80,000-foot perspective to the folks holding a 20,000-foot view, who in turn then try to coordinate the people working on the ground, producing a big air sandwich. That big 60,000 feet contain a lot of details. And there are devils in those details, my friends. They're the details that contain the keys to victory. They're exactly what Nafola Merchant is giving us in the pages of this book, a detailed roadmap for closing the gap between strategy and execution. How to make an air sandwich. There are three systematic issues that cause an air sandwich. First, people get tunnel vision. They don't step beyond the jobs they're hired to do, which of course, on the face of it, seems like that shouldn't really be a problem. But consider this. Speed to market, which is often a large part of a strategic process, happens through cross-silo participation. If you aren't willing to work for and with other parts of your organization, get your mouth open and get ready for a nice big bite of air sandwich. The second pattern that Merchant identifies is getting ahead of yourself. It's a focus on doing without a focus on shared thinking. How can you expect people to fully engage themselves in work if you don't figure out the details of exactly how you'll get there with them? You can't, of course. Time for another bite of that sandwich. The last pattern of failure is the "it's not my job" routine. This is like the second cousin of tunnel vision. It's seeing a problem that should be solved, knowing that you should do something about it, but deciding that you won't take action because it's either above or below your pay grade. Time for that last bite of sandwich. So, how did the sandwich taste? Well, if you didn't like the taste, what follows is a nice big glass of collaborative strategy to wash it down. What follows is the quest process that Merchant positions as the solution to the air sandwich. Phase number one, question. Well, before we move on to creating answers, we need to understand if we're asking the right questions. The first thing we're going to do is identify the scope of the problem. This is the process of determining what we believe needs to be tackled. This is what we call problem architecture. We'll define the problem or opportunity just as an architect would work off of a plan. We need to understand what we're building before we start. Second, we're going to go on a fact-finding mission. We'll be elephant hunting, finding the proverbial elephants in the room, interviewing, and researching. The important part in this stage is to talk to as many people as we can who'll have input into the issue. They might unearth some proverbial elephants in the room. You'll get a better sense of how things look from different perspectives. You'll get these different perspectives by sitting down with the people on your team. As Merchant says, whom you ask shapes what you learn. So make your choices carefully and strategically. A great tip that she offers is to ask each person you interview to refer three other people who they think should be involved in the process. In this way, you'll uncover everybody you need to talk to in order to solve your issue. Here are some of the questions you can ask to start your exploration process. What do we know about what has been done before? What has been involved? What results did they generate? What do we need to know about why this worked or didn't work? Thirdly, you're going to have to share the results of your fact-finding mission with the team. The antidote for an air sandwich is not death by PowerPoint. So don't make the mistake of turning your findings into a huge, full-blown document. In general, organizing your findings into the following four buckets works best. Number one, what is known and can be confirmed. Number two, what you believe but don't have enough facts to confirm. Number three, what you doubt. And number four, what doesn't fit. Remember, if you start jumping to the answers at this point, you're just going to be committing the same mistake you're trying to fix. This process should take between 1 and 10 weeks to accomplish. And once you're done that 1 to 10 weeks, we're on to phase two, envision. Merchant says that envision aims to answer the question, what is the right set of options for you, given your problem and particular set of circumstances? Remember, this isn't an exercise in an ivory tower somewhere. You've got real results to attain and reality to deal with. And there are two short and sweet steps to this phase: developing a rich set of options and tracking criteria that will be used to shape decisions in the select phase. The goal in this phase is to involve people from all levels of the organization. This is about adding the meat to the sandwich, the where's the beef. In the option development meetings you're going to hold, the focus is on exploring possibilities. So you're going to want to ask questions like, what if we blank? Is there a reason why blank? What if we tried blank? Explore as many angles as you can. Your job as a leader is to ensure that there's a safe environment for others to share their ideas. But don't be so focused on creating that safe environment that you don't produce any productive conflict. Harmony is not your goal here. You might also be tempted to save the ideas that you personally like for the end and then just make them happen. Don't do that. One of the most critical steps in this entire process is what Merchant calls criteria tracking. As you move through the options process, you'll likely start touching on different notions of success. You should explore them and make sure that everybody's on the same page when it comes to defining what success looks like. It's very easy to get distracted by what seems to be a fantastic idea that has nothing to do with solving your particular issue. Don't fall for that trap. Because this process involves more than just one person or function in the company, make sure that you're creating success criteria for the different areas of your company: product development, sales, HR, and so on. Not sure how to create that criteria? Well, here's some sample criteria. It will be big enough to be a significant focus for our team. It will be available in regions where we are strong. We are already set up to sell it. It will use our core strengths and it will match our revenue needs for the next 4 years. That's specific. Remember, even if what comes out of the other end of this process will not surprise you as the CEO, which, by the way, I highly doubt, it's about creating an enormous amount of alignment towards a joint goal and the details that are going to need to be covered. The lack of those things is the air sandwich that caused your previous efforts to fail. Please don't forget this. Finally, this stage should take you approximately 1 to 6 weeks. And once we're done this one, we're ready to move on to phase number 3, select. Phase number 3, select. Sometimes good enough really is good enough, like deciding what side dish to have for lunch or what pants go with that purse. But when the future success or failure of an entire organization is at stake, you probably want to choose the right strategy. As Merchant says, most organizations can align with only a certain number of efforts at a time. Thus, figuring out which vehicles or which strategies or options not to take are also key. While there are countless books and theories about how you can create ideas, there's a significant lack of theories for how you narrow it down to one. Until now. My friends, it's murder boarding time. This is not some new form of torture, but a very practical way to get focused on one goal. Some things that get lined up for the chopping block here: weak ideas, good options at the wrong time, decent ideas put forth by very nice people. The goal here is to optimize your decision. Note that we're not talking about maximizing, where we review every single choice in detail but never actually get down to making a decision, but nor do we want it to be satisficing, which means we pick the first solution that meets a minimal set of requirements. This is about finding the best possible option within a predefined set of criteria, which also happens to include time. There are 4 main steps to this process. They include, number 1, deciding what matters. This means we're formalizing the set of criteria we've been exploring up until this point. We can't make any choices until the organization agrees on the criteria. Number 2, sort. We'll determine which ideas meet the criteria and which don't. 3, test. We'll apply the strategy hypothetically in context and see what further insights develop. And lastly, number 4, choose. We decide based on all the work we've done to this point, which strategy we're going to put into action. This process will typically take one day to work through, but can sometimes take a little bit longer. And now, we're finally on to phase four, which is take. Take is where the rubber meets the road. We all come to an agreement about who owns what in clear and measurable terms. Some people would say that it's turning it into a SMART goal. But if you're like me, that might make you throw up in your mouth a little bit, so we'll avoid it here. Here are some questions you can ask that might make this step crystal clear for you and your team. What key things do you need to do to make this a reality? Do you need to change anything organizationally to make it happen? What specific dependencies do you have on deliverables from other groups? And what risks do we need to account for? It doesn't really matter which form you get all the details in, as long as you revisit them consistently and always question assumptions and get a little bit paranoid about whether or not you'll actually get it done. So in conclusion, there is a huge gap between strategy and execution for most organizations. Understanding the steps you need to take can literally mean the difference between staying alive or closing up shop. Make sure that you follow these steps, but also reward the hell out of team members who take the challenge up with you. Your entire team will thank you, and so will your shareholders, wherever they are. That's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the new how as much as we did creating it. And as always, we are proud to read it for you.